Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. It's the official start of the holiday shopping season, the time we start counting down the shopping days until Christmas, even though you've likely seen Christmas decorations up at major retailers for weeks already. A number of Native retailers are working to bring gift shoppers through the doors or into their online shopping carts. We're talking with a number of Native-owned businesses about how they're reaching customers, and we'll get their projections about the retail business climate. That's coming up after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Efforts to restore bison in central Wyoming could hold the key to strengthening ecosystems and economies across western states. Eric Galatis has more.
Eastern Shoshone tribal member Jason Baldus is working to bring buffalo back onto tribal lands to roam freely, starting with a small herd on the Wind River Indian Reservation in central Wyoming. He says restoring a wildlife economy will require a shift in vision for land management away from the status quo driven exclusively by dollars.
But for Native people, a healthy environment is much more valuable. And so as we restore bison to the landscape for their keystone role as an ecosystem engineer, then we're restoring the land, and we're thinking more about biodiversity and the interconnectedness of all these beings that are here.
Unlike grazing cattle that decrease plant and animal biodiversity critical for ecosystems, Baldus notes bison increase biodiversity by creating food and habitat for hundreds of species. Their dust bathing creates micro depressions important for seed dispersal and water accumulation. Their hooves naturally aerate the soil. Every winter, they put on a new coat, which becomes available for many species of birds when they shed in the spring. For thousands of years before America's first residents were stripped of their lands and food supplies, the health and wealth of Native communities in the region was directly connected to bison. Baldus says despite being separated for 130 years, the animal is still very present in cultural belief systems, including their annual Sundance.
It's in our sweat lodge ceremonies. It's in our house ceremonies. We still have songs about the buffalo. That animal historically was our life's commissary. It was our store. It was where our foods, our medicines, our tools, our material came from.
The Eastern Band of Shoshone were also widely renowned as buffalo eaters, and Baldus says bringing herds back to western lands managed as wild animals will also help tribes heal.
We have the highest rates of diabetes and heart disease and other health-related issues because of the removal of buffalo from our diet. So incorporating that back into our diet again is very important. It's the highest in protein, minerals, and vitamins, and the lowest in fat and cholesterol than any other meat.
This is Eric Galatis reporting.
Miss Indian New Mexico 2022 says she's a cultural ambassador, role model, and public servant. Alicia Coriz is representing the 23 tribal nations in New Mexico, but says she's also serving the state as a whole.
As well as understanding that this title is a pillar of hope for all of our communities. And it's also another space for me to, you know, utilize this platform to call forth and inspire others to, you know, continue to be the solutions to their community's needs.
The Miss Indian New Mexico pageant includes traditional talent, traditional skill, contemporary talent, personal interview, and knowledge about New Mexico. She ran on a platform of empowerment through community building.
When we get our community people together to, you know, have conversations and connect with one another and continue to build a deeper understanding of the issues and the impacts that, you know, the challenges that we face, this is a time where we're able to meet and continue to build community together. And that's all part of how we honor ourselves through kinship, through community. And as well as when we find that connection, we feel that we have the support system. We are building that system in order for us to feel empowered to have a voice and continue to regroup as a community and find the solutions and be the solutions.
Coriz will serve a year as Miss Indian New Mexico. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com.
Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce, wishing you all well on Native American Heritage Day. Many Americans woke up this morning with a fridge full of leftover turkey and a Christmas shopping list. And over the next 4 weeks, many of us will visit shopping malls, local mom-and-pop stores, and online retailers getting ready for Christmas. Businesses are working extra hard this time of year to earn your business. A big portion of their annual sales come during these final weeks of the year, and this year, retailers face numerous challenges, including high inflation that limits people's ability to spend, continued supply chain struggles, and a lingering worker shortage. Today, we'll talk with Native retailers to get their take on the business of holiday shopping and get some tips on how customer-based Native businesses can stand out. We certainly want to hear from our listeners, too. Will you support Native-owned business this holiday season? Call us at 1-800-996-2848. We'll get your comments on the air. Speaking with us first from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Angelo McCourse. He's the owner and co-founder of Bison Star Naturals. He is Taos Pueblo. Angelo, welcome to Native America Calling.
Good morning. Thank you, Sean. I'm happy to be here. Yes, currently I'm at the Rio Grande Arts and Crafts Fair here at the Expo Fairgrounds. So if any of you listeners are in New Mexico, come on down. Come check us out.
Well, sounds like you are really busy. And Angelo, Black Friday, it's officially arrived today. But I'll tell you what, bro, you could have fooled me with all the Black Friday emails flooding my inbox for the last few weeks. Are you gearing up for a busy day?
Most definitely. So I'm very happy because myself, I'm here at the Rio Grande Arts and Crafts Fair in Albuquerque, and my wife and my daughter and our crew back home in Taos, they're opening up a brand new retail space in the town of Taos. So we can be located now in the town of Taos and at the Taos Pueblo Reservation with our Bison Star Naturals headquarters next to Taos Mountain Casino. So we're double timing.
Yeah, congratulations. You folks have been in business now for over 4 years. One, you had a location there in the Pueblo for a long time, but now you'll be outside of the Pueblo. And do you think having that store outside of the Pueblo is going to expand the amount of customers that you can serve for folks that maybe live in Taos and some of those surrounding communities?
Yes, most definitely. So we're just trying to diversify and expand our reach. And the workshop that we had built in our home community of Taos Pueblo, we had only been operating in, out of it for about a year and a half, and we quickly outgrew its capacity. And so that made us want to expand into town. And so now it feels like Bison Star Naturals has grown up and, you know, we sent it off to college in town and it's paying its own rent now. So, you know, it's a great growth phase for Bison Star Naturals.
I want to ask you about the city of Taos now that you folks have a location there within the city or near the city limits, because well, last time I was up in Taos, I noticed that the plaza, I mean, when I was a kid growing up, the Taos Plaza was just rocking, just nonstop. Galleries everywhere, just tons of shoppers, tons of tourists. And the last few times I've been up to Taos, it doesn't seem to be as big a draw as it used to be. What's going on there? And is that something that's on your radar?
Most definitely. So what I think is my personal take is that over the decades, Taos Plaza has become more of a like dominated by the arts. And prior to that, it was a little bit more community oriented where, you know, you had like a home food store on the plaza. You used to have like a post office. There used to be, you know, like almost like a little diner. So there was places where you could eat that aren't restaurants, but that were more community-oriented businesses. But I think these days, you know, it's just a little bit more of an art-dominated scene. It's not so much like a community scene there on the plaza, except for Saturday mornings during the spring, summer, and fall when they have the Taos Farmers Market. And that's when the whole community, you know, takes over the plaza and everybody sets up their booths and sells all their fresh food and all of their awesome natural products.
Mm. Well, tell us more about Bison Star Naturals. I know you have a lot of bath products. And what are you folks really excited about for this holiday shopping season?
Yeah, so we're a small body care products company based out of Taos Pueblo. We're super excited to be manufacturing our products out of our homeland. And we specialize in lotion. That's what we're most popular and well known for, is our light, silky formula. You know, it soaks in quick, it moisturizes you good, but doesn't leave you feeling oily or greasy. And that's why a lot of folks like our lotion. But as far as what's exciting and new for this holiday season, if you'll be shopping with us for this Black Friday weekend or for the holidays, you'll find that we're making these awesome gift sets with little gift baskets, woven gift baskets. And also, we're excited to be releasing some new products into the new year. So we'll be releasing our hair care line into the new year, and we're really excited about that.
Angelo, I was on your website. Looks like some really cool stuff, but at the same time, there's just so many places where shoppers can go and purchase soaps and lotions and things like that. And what's special about Bison Star Naturals as opposed to all those other products out there on the market?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you asking. Number one, we're a family-based company. So, you know, small family owned and operated. You know, there's no mega corporations or anybody like that involved in our production and manufacturing. And then also, we use natural and organic ingredients, and we omit any unnecessary like preservatives or harsh chemicals that are often found in a lot of the body care products that you can find all around. And you know, that's why I'm proud to be a small batch creator. And I'm really happy as well that there's a demand for clean and healthy body care products out there now that people are a little bit more aware of, you know, what's going on in their skin, and they're a little more aware of how to read labels and see what's actually going into these products, you know, because a lot of the harsh chemicals and preservatives, they're inexpensive and cheap. So you can, you know, make a lot of product if you utilize those kind of ingredients. But I'm just happy to have a high quality, you know, formula that is a clean body care. So it's great for the babies, the elders, and everybody in between.
It's really, really inspiring to learn about this business and these different products that you have. And you mentioned these large corporations that sell products and they don't always use the best ingredients and things like that. But I'm also curious, Angela, with regard to competition when it comes to pricing your products, because those big manufacturers you mentioned, they enjoy economies of scale, and they can sell stuff like soap and lotion at that lowest possible price point. They can just get right down to that bottom penny. And how do you convince people to spend a little extra with Bison Star Naturals?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that if a lot of folks that shop with us, they've had bad experiences and they know what's good on their skin or what's not. And, you know, a lot of the times folks are just looking for clean, natural body care products. And so they're willing to pay the price, because similar to like with the farmer, you know, you'd rather pay the farmer for good, high quality produce that's nice and clean and that's going to treat your body really good, rather than paying really low cost for like fast food or, you know, just for anything that like the unhealthier it is, the cheaper it is and more accessible it is, which is really funny. And so that's why I like to equate it to, you know, it's just like farming. You'd rather pay the farmer or you pay the creator than pay the doctor later for all the negative effects that the food and the products you buy put into your body. You know, so you're either going to pay the creator or the farmer, or you're going to pay the doctor. I guess you get to choose which one you want.
Yeah. There you go. It's so easy for people to kind of not see the big picture like you describe and just get immediately taken in by that lower price. But then again, times are tough, and people do, you know, with inflation and things like that, some folks just have a little bit less money to spend this holiday shopping season. And earlier when we started the show, I mentioned, you know, some of these challenges with shipping and getting good help and being able to retain employees. Are you folks facing any of those economic pressures this holiday season more so than in the past?
Yeah, so, you know, we've definitely experienced the lingering effects of supply chain shortages, you know. So it's kind of slowed up a little bit of our new product launches, but, you know, we're very optimistic and we just keep on working hard every day to make this happen, you know, because there is speed humps in this entrepreneurial journey, you know, this highway. You definitely have to pay attention and adapt. And yeah, as far as employment goes, we're excited that, you know, we're a cool company that, you know, puts off a good youthful vibe, and we have awesome clean body care products. And so we're attracting a nice, employee base. But of course, we're super excited because now this expansion into the town of Taos is going to allow us to hire more help. And, you know, we're thankful for the folks that do like to work and are excited to get back to work after the last couple of years, you know. And so we're all open, and we're definitely looking to grow our Bison Star team this year. So we have two places now to fill with employees.
Well, tell us more about the customers that you folks market to. Are most of your sales in person at these two retail locations, or do you do the bulk of your business online?
Sure. So when we first started, the bulk of our business was in person at these different retail shows like arts and crafts fairs, artisan markets. And then when the pandemic hit, it forced us to pivot. So that way we were able to really beef up our online marketing and marketing strategies. And it drove a lot of traffic to our online sales. So during the pandemic, primarily it was online sales that carried us through. And once the pandemic was over, we hit the road again. And we definitely started making more contacts. And along that time, we were able to expand our product line, and we were able to have different sizes of like our lotion and our soaps and liquid soap. And so what we've now pivoted to is to transition from being a primarily retail business to focusing on wholesale. And so we're excited to have over 40 partners across the country, and where you can find our stuff on shelves all over the nation. So we fit really well with outdoor lifestyle institutions, brands, and companies. And so, you know, we can be found in like the Yellowstone, Old Faithful Geyser gift shop. We can be found in airports like the Albuquerque Sunport.
Angela, we're going to have to take a break. I'm sorry, we got to take a quick break, but folks, we'll be right back on Black Friday. The four-day weekend kicks off the time of year when we think a lot about food. On the menu on Native America Calling, host Andy Murphy fills us in on some selected Native holiday food traditions and some new places with Native food to put on your travel list. That's coming up on the next Native America Calling.
This Native American Heritage Month, remember, 1 in 3 Native American adults have high blood pressure. Check it at your nearest community health center. If the numbers are above 120 over 80, talk to a healthcare professional. Native community well-being is very important. You can take action by visiting heart.org/HBPcontrol. This support provided in partnership with HHS/OMH and HRSA under cooperative agreements CPIMP 211227 and CPIMP 211228.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Have you started your holiday shopping yet? We're talking with some Native retail businesses today and hearing what it takes to be successful in the fast-paced, highly competitive retail sales industry. We want to hear from our listeners today. What do you expect from a retailer this holiday season? Free shipping, big discounts, large selections? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And we're speaking now with Angelo McCourse. He is the co-founder of Bison Star Naturals. He's Taos Pueblo. And Angelo, before break, you were sharing some of the different locations and venues where Bison Star products are sold. And it sounds like you folks have grown a lot since you started 4 years ago. And can you share percentage-wise how much sales have increased with Bison Star over the last 4 years?
Sure. You know, so I'm happy to report that, you know, in the first years it was kind of minimal just because we were limited to our business experience was limited. We were just primarily focusing on online sales and retail sales, but as we grew and you know, through networking, which I think is a valuable skill that I would just encourage any and all entrepreneurs to make sure to focus on, build those connections, talk to everybody you can, come to every event with a smile on your face and 110% energy, and you'll attract awesome partners who would like to, you know your story, share your story, and share your product, most importantly. So, yeah, I was definitely just mentioning about, you know, some of the retail locations you can find us. And like I was saying, if it has anything to do with, like, outdoor lifestyle, you know, a lot of folks really are attracted to Bison Star Naturals for that reason.
Okay. And any tips for our listeners with regard to getting all their shopping done this holiday season?
Yes, definitely. Like you were saying earlier, look out for all the free shipping. You know, Bison Star Naturals does free shipping on its products all year round. That was just one of the tips for any entrepreneurs out there. You know, I feel that a lot of the time when folks fill up their cart, if they get to the end of the checkout and they see one price, but then they click one more time, then the shipping gets dropped in there. It might scare them away. So free shipping is always a good perk for the customer and for the small business if you can swing it. And then also, you know, we definitely released some Black Friday sales on our website. So go to our website, bisonstarnaturals.com, and you can find out, or any of our socials, you know, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn at Bison Star, and you can find all of our coupon codes to save some bucks for the, to make your holiday shopping go a little farther.
Angelo McCourse, co-founder of Bison Star Naturals. And Angelo, thanks again for joining us and congratulations on this success. Again, you folks have been in business now since 2018. It sounds like the sky is the limit up there in Taos Pueblo. We've got another guest on the line now. Joining us from the Fort Yuma Quechan Reservation is Tudor Montag. He's the owner of Spirit Mountain Roasting Company. He's a member of the Fort Yuma Quechan tribe. And a quick note of disclosure, Spirit Mountain Roasting is an underwriter for Native America Calling. Tudor, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Tudor, I got to ask, was there a line of eager shoppers camped outside Spirit Mountain Roasting at 5 a.m. this morning?
Yeah, we got a pretty steady steady order pace, I guess you could say. We, our primary retail is our online sales, so we have our website. The roaster here on the res is just production, so we do our roasting, packaging, and then, you know, ship our product out to our wholesale accounts and then our online sales. But yeah, it's been steady. You can definitely tell. Seems like, well, as soon as the weather cools down, yeah, people start ordering coffee.
Well, it sounds good, and I think online sales are just continuing to take a bigger and bigger chunk every year of holiday shopping dollars, and it just doesn't seem like those Black Friday deals are as big a deal like they used to be. I mean, I went by the Best Buy where I live yesterday afternoon. There wasn't anybody out there, and it used to be you'd see people laying out sleeping bags like as early as Wednesday afternoon. Is it changed there too?
Yeah, you know, it seems to be. I think, you know, and I'm just taking a guess, you know, from COVID shift to online, you know, options, and, you know, everybody was doing Zoom and stuff like that. So I think it's just kind of an after effect of COVID. You know, people do their shopping a lot of times online, so they don't have to deal with the madness, get out there, you know, amongst the big crowds and stuff. So I think that's kind of, you know, maybe a permanent shift. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely be watching and waiting here and over the next few years to see if it just continues with more and more online sales and online deals. And well, Tudor, tell us more about Spirit Mountain Roasting and why a coffee company?
Yeah, so we're Spirit Mountain Roasting Companies. We're small batch specialty coffee roasters. So I focus on specialty coffee, which is if you think about like wine, they got ratings for wine, you know, and the higher the rating, the higher quality of the coffee. So we focus on specialty coffee, organically grown. And I try to focus the coffees that I bring in to roast are selected from either, you know, women producers that are in Central or South America, or sometimes indigenous communities that grow coffee. So really just wanted to support, you know, small producers, traditional growers in Central and South America, and coffee is just a passion. I love, you know, working with raw materials and creating something out of that, you know, taking the coffee seed and roasting it. There's such a variety in coffee itself, you know, depending on the variety that you get, it's going to produce a different end product. So, you know, that's just my passion, is just working with the coffee and being able to provide it to the community at a decent price. You know, like I said, we do specialty coffee, but I try to set our price point that's approachable for everybody. We're not, you know, putting the most expensive coffee out there, the dollar way, you know, price point, but it is specialty coffee. So, you know, it's just a passion, and I love that I'm doing it here on the reservation.
Are all of your beans grown by indigenous farmers?
The majority are. The supplier that I work with, they carry a broad range of coffee, but I make sure to, within their portfolio, I'll select if they're either indigenous growers or, like I said, women producers. I just try to make sure that my dollars are going towards those types of producers. So typically 80 to 90% of the coffees that I carry are either women produced or indigenous.
And how do you connect with those growers? I know coffee, you know, far into South America, Central America. Is it tough to communicate and get those shipments out on time, especially with the supply chain issues we've been talking about today?
Yeah, you know, supply chain was a big issue for coffee, because like you mentioned, it's coming from, you know, such a far distance. I work with an importer that's based out of Portland. And I'm pretty proud of the fact that the importer that I work with, they're a certified B corporation. So, you know, they've taken the steps to basically be audited by a third party to show that their business practices are above board. You know, they pay their producers, you know, more than the going rate in the coffee world. So they're the ones that do the heavy lifting of actually getting the raw coffee into the States. So I work with them. But when COVID happened, definitely supply chain issues. Like, we were short on a lot of the coffees that we typically order, had to wait much longer before the coffee got into port and was able to be shipped to us. So yeah, just navigating those, you know, those obstacles was tough. But like I said, you know, I'm proud of the supplier that I work with, and yeah, just happy that we're able to get the coffee and get it roasted and get it out there.
Well, I want to ask you more about the marketing angle of your business, and specifically the advertising, and how do you folks connect with your customers? Is it mostly through social media and websites, or are you doing other types of promotions? How do you connect with, because you're selling coffee all over the country?
Yeah, you know, social media has been by far the biggest reach for us. You know, that's up until advertising with you guys, that's our first ad campaign, I guess, is through you guys. So prior to that, it's been all social media and our website, and man, thankfully sales have been great, you know. So it does speak to the power of social media for sure. A lot of people sometimes talk about the negative aspects, but on the business side, it's, you know, it's what's made us grow for sure. But I think trying with the ad campaign with you guys, that's kind of like our first step. We're going to start looking at probably expanding our reach, you know, in the local radios, stuff like that, and see how it goes. But yeah, up until now, social media has done it.
And tell us more about your customers. Are you primarily focused on native customers, or are you looking for for larger customer bases? Who's kind of your core group that you focus on?
You know, for, I guess, on the wholesale side of it, it's primarily native businesses that carry us. Like, we have a cafe in Portland, Oregon, Native woman-owned cafe. There's a cafe in Southern California, also a native owned, and then we have a couple of casinos that we're in. So primarily our wholesale side is all native customers, but on the web we have such a wide range. I mean, all demographics, across the board and across the nation. We even get orders in Canada, and we've shipped overseas as well. So wholesale side, it's primarily native, and then on the website, it's, you know, all across the board.
And with all the other gourmet coffee roasting companies out there, I'm thinking, you know, there's the big corporate brands, but then there are other folks such as yourselves that are taking a more grassroots approach. And there are other native-owned coffee shops as well. And what do you have to do, Tudor, to really stand out and get people to notice Spirit Mountain Roasting?
I think it's just how you tell your story. You know, we're pretty upfront about who we are and what we're doing and why. I think customers look for people that have put, you know, more effort into their creating their product, you know, not just the, like Angelo and you guys were talking about, the mass produced products out there. You know, that saturates the market, but people are actually searching out, you know, quality products, and companies that have a story behind them. So, you know, it's the customer, I think, is more savvy. They're more aware, and they're more intentional with where they spend their dollars. So if you have a solid story, you tell, you know, telling the customer what you're doing, why you're doing it, I think that goes a long way for sure.
The growth of the gourmet coffee industry is something that has really fascinated me, because I'm old enough to remember when everybody just pretty much drank Maxwell House and Folgers, and that was pretty much what we grew up on. That was what it had at all the stores. And then I remember when, like, Dunkin' Donuts, that was like considered like the most awesome coffee, you know, outside of anything. And then when it's been within what, like the last, I guess, 20 some years, it's just completely exploded. And that trend, I mean, do you see that just continuing to grow in the coming years? I mean, how much bigger can the gourmet coffee market really get, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting to see the growth and to see how much it's continuing to grow. I think there is space for even more specifically, like minority-owned roasters, native roasters, for sure. The coffee market is huge, and I think I may be – if I'm saying right, but I think coffee was behind, I think, as a commodity, oil, the second largest, you know, commodity out there or industry. So it's wild, man. I definitely think there's room to grow. Kind of my issue too, that Angelo talked about, is going out of our space. You know, I'm already past capacity in the existing roastery that I have. So I need to expand. So that's kind of my next phase, is expanding the roastery. We're going to be opening a cafe next year here on the reservation. So, yeah, definitely I see growth ahead. And for others that are interested in getting into the industry, you know, do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tudor, yeah. In addition to being a business owner this holiday shopping season, you're also a consumer as well. And I know you have a holiday shopping list. So what are your thoughts from the consumer side of it? Do you have any strategies or any plans for how you're going to purchase gifts this year for your family and loved ones?
You know, probably mostly online as well. We've done a lot of our shopping already, and it's just all online because it's convenient, you know. But same thing, when I purchase a product, I want to look at where it's coming from, who's making it. So just, you know, be thorough if you're going to get some gifts. Think about where it comes from, who made it. That's how kind of how we approach it, and that's what I continue to do.
One thing I noticed, and Angela was talking about how to take advantage of free shipping earlier, and I see now pretty much every website offers what they call these point of sale loans or these pay in four loans, like from companies like Affirm, and where you can, you know, just buy like a, even for a small amount, you can break it down into three or four payments. And is that something you folks offer there through Spirit Mountain, those point of sale loans like that, or any other kind of creative financial products to help boost sales?
We don't do that. I think because you can purchase a bag of coffee, or, you know, we have a pretty low entry point. We don't sell a high dollar product. But we do offer, I think, something that a lot of people like are electronic gift cards. So they can go on the website and purchase an electronic gift card that they, the code gets sent to whoever they purchase it for, and they can use it. It's really convenient. We see that's pretty popular. So I think that that kind of gets a lot of attention from people. But yeah, that's about that.
Well, that sounds interesting. And then on your end, is it any easier or simpler to process those digital gift card payments as opposed to credit cards and debit cards? How's it work on your end?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. The you know, the gifter will put a dollar amount they'll purchase, so that'll come to us automatically, and then the person will come back to the website and select whichever coffees they want. So it's pretty straightforward, easy to do. Yeah, it makes life easy for us on that side, for sure.
Now, Tudor, as I understand it, you started out as a brewer, and while brewing, you learned more about roasting coffee. And when did you make that switch from being a brewer to a roaster?
Yeah, it was actually, so I was on the path to get a brewery started. And so I'd been homebrewing for over 10 years when I was kind of formulating my business plan and putting things together. And I went to a brewing school, a professional brewing school. One of the courses was covering how they roast the brewing grains to get the darker beers, you know, and they talked about how similar it is to coffee. They showed the roasters, and, you know, that kind of clicked something in my mind right there. I was like, hey, you know, I love coffee too. It's just kind of thinking about it. And then I was putting the business plan together for the brewery, and just the, you know, the capital needed to start the brewery was beyond my reach at the time. So kind of put that on the back burner, and then started looking at coffee, looked at roasters, and purchased a small 2-kilo roaster, and just kind of dove down the roasting rabbit hole. Just got into it seriously, started roasting. And I think the brewing, some of the principles of brewing helped me to transition to roasting a little easier. So I understood some concepts, you know, working with energy, heat, you know, just the process. And again, like I said, I like to create something out of raw material. So it's just, like I said, I dove down the roasting rabbit hole, and here I am today.
Yeah. Well, Tudor, congratulations on your success as well. Tudor Montag, owner of Spirit Mountain Roasting Company. And anyone listening today who has any questions about holiday shopping this year, looking for tips and strategies, give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE.
Do you have a holiday checklist? Make sure it includes avoiding the latest holiday scams. Scammers count on you being too busy and distracted to pay attention. But research shows if you know about a scam, you're 80% less likely to engage in it. Visit aarp.org/holidayscams to get up-to-date tips on charity scams, online shopping scams, package scams, and more. That's aarp.org/holidayscams. AARP supports this show.
Done.
You're tuned in to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. The holiday shopping season officially kicks off today. What's on your shopping list? What gifts are best purchased from a Native retailer? We're getting perspectives from some Native retailers today and learning what makes them unique to holiday shoppers. So give us a call at 1-800-996-2848 if you want to join the conversation. That number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Our phone lines are open, so feel free. Give us a call. We'll get you on the air. We have a third guest on the show now. Joining us is Megan Schnitger. She's the owner and founder of Lakota Made LLC. She is Sikanju Lakota. Megan, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you bet, Megan. And here it is, Black Friday, but I understand you're not working today. Biggest shopping day of the year for many people. What's going on? Why aren't you at work?
Oh, we gave everyone the holiday off. At work, we have our online store that's always open 24/7, but our retail store is closed so that, you know, our employees and mostly my family can enjoy the holiday at home. Our store is located in Mankato, Minnesota, and I come from Milks Camp, South Dakota, which is like 6 hours away. And so my brothers work for me. And so in order for us to make the parents happy, I had to give everyone the weekend off so we could all have Thanksgiving together.
Well, I'm sure your employees, your family members / employees will really appreciate that generosity to give them that flexibility and have that day after Thanksgiving as a time where they can relax and travel and do what they have to do. So that's really cool that you're able to do that, Megan. And I want to ask you also, because we're hearing so many different projections for holiday sales this year. Some are good. Some are saying, oh, it's going to be not such a great holiday season. So what's your thought, Megan? Are you gearing up for a big holiday season this year?
We always have. This is our fourth holiday season, and we've learned from previous holiday seasons, don't go in with too many expectations because you never know what's going to happen. And so we have, you know, we go in and we go in prepared. We make sure we had, you know, we ramped up making all of our products for the last few months, so we have a significant backstock, and our shippers are ready to go. We hired more help for the holiday season. We're actually pretty excited for it. We are in a bigger retail location than last year, significantly bigger, like 10 times bigger. So we're pretty excited for it.
Tell us more about Lakota Made LLC. How many employees do you have? When did the business start? And what's your specialty?
Lakota Made started in late 2019. And so, 2019. And we do herbal products. And so we do wild harvested plant medicinals. So tinctures, tonics, salves, medicinal salves. We do honey syrups. We do cologne balms. We do shampoo bars, conditioner bars, lotion bars. We do anything eco-friendly and personal care. And so we have lots of hair oils, facial oils, body oils, massage oils. It's basically the idea of Lakota Made was I was making products at home for my family, and I have for 20-some years since I learned how to make all this stuff. And my husband was like, well, I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And he was like, well, I want you to, you know, have more of a hobby than, you know, cleaning the house 7 times a day and rearranging the pictures on the wall. And I was like, okay. So, and he was, you know, we were talking while I was making salves, diaper salves for our family. And he was like, well, why don't you sell this stuff? And I'm like, because nobody's going to buy it. Nobody knows what this is. Or, you know, people can make this by themselves. And he's like, no, people can't make this by themselves. They don't know what plants to use. They don't know any about this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. So after some conversations with him, because I was like, I don't know anything about retail. I come from the nonprofit world. You know, my whole adult life was nonprofit world. This is my first for-profit business. And so I decided I'd try it out. It took him like 6 months of convincing me that I could do this. And I finally made some products, posted on my personal Facebook page, and I sold them right away. And then it kind of grew from there. We did lots of vendor shows. And then when the pandemic hit, all of our vendor shows got canceled. And so I had to learn how to Facebook, and I had to learn how to website because I'm not a very techie person at all. And I learned how to do those things, and I learned how to do social media ads and Google ads, and that's kind of where we really took off. And so a big basis of our sales is online. And so that's it. Got a huge growth on there. We have a pretty good social media following. And that's, yeah, that's, so we're not too worried about having the store closed today, because we do have Shop Small Saturday tomorrow. That's pretty big in downtown Mankato. And so that's the day where we ramp up, you know, and have the store open for Shop Small Saturday.
So your husband was the one that inspired you. Hey, you could make these, you could sell these online, you could build a business out of this. And here you were, Megan, a new entrepreneur just 3 years ago. And are there a lot of resources for Native-owned retail businesses like yours? Grants, training, technical assistance? Because everything you're describing, you had to learn from the ground up, the social media, the inventory, hiring people, managing a workforce. That's a lot of skills to have to put together in a short period of time.
It is, and there's not a lot of Native-centered resources out there for me. When I first started, I heavily relied on our Small Business Development Center in through the local university, MNSU, and I still hang on to them. My business advisor is, still pushing me along and reminded me of tasks to do. But there wasn't a lot of resources. There was a lot of YouTube videos. There was a lot of trial and error as far as like business things to on how to really run the business. My husband has been an entrepreneur since his early 20s. And so he was construction. He can build you a skyscraper or a doghouse, but a retail thing was completely new. So for us, that was like, okay, well, here we go.
Oh, geez, build a doghouse. Maybe, I don't know, some specialty products for dogs or something like that. Maybe you folks can find some overlap there and help each other out. But no, this is just a really fascinating story. And Megan, you've got a family, and just on your own. I mean, how are you going to balance all of this? This business that's booming, and then you've got children and a husband, and you've got your own holiday shopping to do, and everything that goes into the holiday season. How do you find time to wear so many hats?
Well, I function very well with adult ADHD, and so it doesn't take much for me to get distracted or multitask. And so my employees understand that. And so they're very task oriented and they get a lot of things done. My kids, they're very helpful. I have 7 daughters, 2 stepdaughters that are part-time. And so I have 5 daughters in the home. The oldest one at home is 11. The youngest one just turned 4 months. It takes a lot of kind of taking that ADHD mental health, and instead of using it as a crutch, using it as a superpower, and being like, well, I can't stay on task very well, so I can devote 10-15 minutes to each task that I have to do for work, and then I move on, and I can do that while I'm holding and feeding a baby, and you know, have mom Tourette's, and like, get out of there, stop that, don't do that, don't climb on that, please don't jump off the counter, you know. And it's multitasking. It's using, you know, mental health as a superpower instead of a crutch. And so that's really what a huge basis of me being sober for almost 18 years now is like not using my mental health as something as a disability, but knowing my triggers and using all of it to help me instead of hinder me.
Well, congratulations on 18 years of sobriety. And I was on your website, the Lakota Made website, and I noticed there were syrups and different types of ointments and things like that from a health perspective. And so you've got the retail store there. And then to manufacture all of these products, are you doing that there on site, or do you have a separate facility, or do you outsource that stuff? Where's it made?
It's all made in our 2,332 square foot building. And so we have 2 other makers besides myself. And we make everything that is on the website. We make it in, you know, smaller batches, so about 100 products at a time per batch, depending upon the product. Sometimes we only come out with 20 tinctures at a time. And so it's all made in there. It's all locally sourced. And so we do our best to make sure that, you know, we're not stuck on a freight tanker ship somewhere out in the sea.
Well, give us a breakdown. Like, what is a typical workday like for you, Megan? Are you there making these products? Are you working with customers? Are you like doing fulfillment and shipping? How does it break down? How many hours a day do you work too?
About 16 hours a day. And it starts at 5:30 in the morning. And I get myself up and showered, and then I get my kids up and going. When my kids are getting ready for school, I'm answering emails, checking the Shopify, our website host, for orders, and making sure that the my brother Mitch, who's our second in command, has the make list out for the day. We know what products need to be made, and then also making sure that he's keeping on top of the labelers. We have a couple labelers that come in and they label all of our products. And then my other brother, Michael, he's my youngest brother. He's the shipping manager. And so I coordinate with him, like, hey, I received this. Someone's missing their product, or the address needs to be changed on this order. And so having conversations with them right away in the morning, then I get my kids to school, dropped off to daycare, and then I head to the shop, and I see what I need to do that day, whether I'm sitting and answering emails, talking to the accountant, making business meetings, or I'm making, we're coming up with new recipes, talking with staff about, you know, okay, well, this is, you know, a lot of experiments. We do a lot of experiments as far as when it comes to herbal products, because we come up with our recipes ourselves. So it's a lot of trial and error. And so we have a few different experiments going on here and there. We also have a makeup line, natural makeup line that just launched. And so my day is pretty much filled until 2:30 with Lakota Made stuff. I pick up my kids from school, and then I go home and answer more emails, schedule stuff. I also have a nonprofit where I do after-school programming in our community. And so Mondays and Thursdays, I do after-school programming. And then we make dinner, and I answer more emails. And then it's bedtime at 8:30 for the kids. And eat. If I don't fall on my face from exhaustion, then I sit there and I answer emails in bed or fill up my calendar and schedule stuff. So that's kind of a typical day.
And then you wake up the next day and do it all over again, it sounds like. And
yep.
So, Megan, what's the big picture here, the long-term plan with your kids? Are you hoping at some point that this will be a business that you can pass on to your children and they can continue this? We can create a legacy, a family business that lasts through the generations?
Absolutely. So the idea is to continue to expand this and open up more stores in Minnesota and South Dakota. And then there's also a few things that we have to outsource. And so we buy our sunflower oil from a Minnesota farmer. And then we also have to buy plant glycerin because we're alcohol free. And so I would like to move those items that we purchase, or we have to outsource. And I'd like to move manufacturing and open up manufacturing of those items on the reservation, so that we can create jobs on the reservation. And then everything is 100% solely indigenous made. And then teaching, you know, cultural and having more harvesters out on the reservation for our plants that we use. There's lots of expansion ideas, and then creating a legacy. I would like to create something for my great-great-grandchildren to manage when they grow up. And helping indigenous communities revitalize language and culture and history, and being able to change the world, because some of our South Dakota reservations are, third world country status and have 90-some% unemployment rates. And I would like to help and be a change for that, and not just, you know, worry about my family, but worry about all the other families that are affected by unemployment rates on the reservations.
Well, Megan, we're going to have to wrap up the show here in a short bit, probably about another minute. But before we do, I want to ask you, because we've had three Native businesses on the show today: Bison Star Naturals, Spirit Mountain Roasting Company, and now your business, Lakota Made LLC. And What do people need to understand about Native-owned businesses such as yours and the others on this show today? What have we not talked about that people need to understand before we wrap up?
That Native, you know, supporting Native-owned businesses is really important because we've been, you know, swept under the rug for the past, you know, 250 years. Our history hasn't been told. You know, we've been held down by, you know, government rations and reservations. And now that we're being able to, you know, build our platform to tell our stories, that it's really important that we, you know, support each other, support other Indigenous businesses, help each other out with advice and tasks. And, you know, it's important that we, you know, pay our worth and not ask, you know, always ask for a discount or something like that. But, you know, make sure that, you know, we're able to keep food on the table for our owners and our employees. And so that's my soapbox.
All righty. All righty. Well, sure appreciate you coming on the show today, Megan. And I want to congratulate you as well on your success. And folks, we are going to have to wrap up. But before we do, big thanks to our three guests today, Angelo McCourse, Tudor Montag, and Megan Schnitger. We appreciate you all joining us to share your tips, insights, and wisdom for shoppers this holiday season. We're back next week with a whole new lineup of Indigenous topics and guests. Hope you'll join us. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our producers are Andy Murphy and Sol Traverso. Marino Spencer is the engineer with support this week from Roman Garcia. Sho McPollin is the digital producer. Nola Daves Moses is the distribution director. Bob Peterson is the network manager for Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our national underwriting sales director. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor for National Native News. Charles Sather is our chief operations officer. The president and CEO of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is Jacqueline Salee. I'm Sean Spruce. Have a safe weekend.
Support for the menu comes from Spirit Mountain Roasting Company, a small batch specialty coffee roaster located on the Fort Yuma Quetzon Reservation. Information and online ordering at spiritmountainroasting.com/news. Program support by Penguin Random House, publisher of Finding My Dance by Rhea Thundercloud, a picture book celebrating the author's journey from childhood powwows to professional dancing. More on this and other stories at prh.com/storiesoftheland.
Enrolled in your health care coverage through CMS today. Keep your health care protected all year long. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. Messages from Center for Medicare and Medicaid Service.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.